I'm going to continue my message that I preached last week. Dolphins are good Christians, but that's not what I preached about. Dolphin was just an example that I used, but I was preaching about urgency. And an interesting thing in the Bible, if you read the Bible, there seems to be a contradiction that the prophetic words of Jesus spoken to his disciples about the end of time. It seems like Jesus have missed. When Jesus told his disciple, he said this. He said, some of you will not taste death till you see the Son of Man coming in his glory and his kingdom. And as we look at the life of the 12 disciples, all of them have passed away. But the coming of Jesus Christ didn't come yet. And then there's another place in the Bible that says, when Jesus speaks to the disciples, he says, you will not be able to go through every city in Israel, and I will come. Israel is really small. And you might think, did Jesus miss it? Did Jesus prophesied something and it didn't happen? One thing I want to say, that Jesus doesn't miss. He's the Son of God. He's beginning and the end, right? He created this world before he even came into this world. Everything was made before it is made. So meaning, in the spirit, everything already happened. Now we're living through in the physical realm. Because in the spirit, there is no time. So everything happened already. So we know that Jesus didn't miss. But why would Jesus say something like that? Why would Jesus say that, live a life like you know today is the last day? And one thing we talked about was, let's say you knew that you had 95 years to live. How would you live today? Would you even be in church today? Okay, let me give you an example. Let's say in school, a teacher gives you 2 months assignment. And she said, it's due in 2 months. When would you usually do it? Most of the people, 95%, will probably do it a night before. That's why Jesus didn't give us and didn't say, you know, there'll be 2,000 years or 2008 and maybe 2009 or 2012, and that's when I will come. Notice he didn't say that. He said to a generation of disciples, he said, before you can taste death, some of you will see the kingdom of heaven. Now we know that there is a double meaning in that. Because scripture is alive. So that day might mean something. Today means something else. Or more to it. The revelation is alive. It's like a flower. It's always being revealed. Always opens up. But then there is another side I spoke about. And that side is that some people would create dates. And they would sell their houses. They would stop working. And they would wait and say, well, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. So we're just going to wait for him. So we said, the reason Jesus made an urgency in Christianity so we wouldn't live an idle life. Now, today's topic is making every day count. And I want you to open to Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Listen to the warning of Jesus. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at the hour you do not expect. My message is not to scare anybody or to make anybody panic or be troubled. Remember, we read in 2 Thessalonians 2:2, Paul says, do not be troubled by anything that says, oh, this is it. This is it. We're not here to trouble you or to make you fearful. The message that I want to preach today is to make sure that everyone is living a life of urgency. There's a difference between living a life of idleness and complacency and a life of urgency. A woman who is married, who is not pregnant, is living a different style of life than the one who is pregnant. Let me give you a little bit illustration. When we got married, everything was cool. And here, after so many years, Tanya gets pregnant. She kind of became bossy. And as the days were coming closer and closer to her labor, she would become really bossy. She would be like, hey, let's go. We got to buy this crib now. We got to buy this car seat for the baby. We got to buy this stroller for the baby. I'm like, oh, you know, we got time. You know, it's still 2 months. And it's interesting that women become very, very assertive when the babies come. When we first got married, Tanya is just like, okay, whatever, cool, you know, just living it out and not worrying about anything. I took care of a lot of stuff. And then here comes the baby, and she's just like, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do it this day, and this is when we're going to do it. And we would go look at the cribs, and she'd be like, we got to buy this one. And I'm like, let's just look around. There's time, you know. And she would become very, very assertive. Well, something happens when the days of labor is coming soon. And did you know that Jesus illustrated, as the woman gets closer to the childbearing, that's how the last days are. And pains of labor and all that stuff. Jesus didn't give us a leisure phrase, do it when you get to it. Christianity is not do it when you get to it type of a faith. I know that it's becoming like that. I'll get to my faith later. And it's kind of scary. It's kind of shocking. I used to look at the church like Orthodox Church in Ukraine. They just live like regular world people. And for us to see that was like, oh my goodness. They just totally live like world people, and if they get married, they go to the church. But when we looked at the life of people then, and I was still a child, we were like, oh my goodness, these people are not Christians. Yes, they get buried in a church, but they never go to that church. I'm sorry, but my heart is troubled because I feel like we are becoming like that. We became so careless. We became so neutral. We became so idle that we kind of feel that we have the whole life ahead of us. Let me give you a little statistic. According to the CIA fact book, in 2006, there was an estimated 8.26 death per 1,000 people. Okay, per 1,000 people, in one day, there's 8.26 death. So multiply this by the population of the United States and divide it by 365 days, you get about 6,744 death per day. Just in the U.S., some of you are young. A lot of those people are old who die. We kind of live a life where we think, okay, nothing is going to happen to me. Young people are dying all the time too. And maybe, like I said last week, maybe today will not be the day for you to go. But Jesus knew that today, in just the United States, there's going to be 6,744 death. So for somebody this minute is the last day. And now again somebody died. And now again somebody died. And now again somebody died without knowing Jesus. And maybe one more. And their last day have come. And Jesus said that the death doesn't come very openly in this scripture. Notice that in the day of Noah, they didn't expect to die. They were living it good. They were getting married and they were eating, drinking, Bible says. They were partying, they were having a good time. And then one day, suddenly flood came. And that's how the coming of Jesus Christ will be. Christianity is not what we made it to be. It's not when you die, somebody will bury you. A minister will come and say good things about you. That's not what Christianity is. Because Bible says that the works of a man follow after him. And at the end of time, Jesus said those will be divided into sheep and into goats. We feel like we have 30, 40 years ahead of us. And you know, it's cool. Nothing to worry about. You know, still want to live it up. Get married. Get a house. Cable TV. You know, little league. And on and on. That's how we are. And listen, all of those things are fine. Let me read to you what urgency is. Calling for immediate attention to undertake something with energy, swiftness, or enthusiasm. So when Jesus was saying the time is coming and your day could be today, what was he trying to do? Since he knew that for many people, it won't be today. I think he was trying to produce something in the heart of people. Wouldn't you agree that a woman who's 8 months pregnant is different, acts differently than a woman who's not pregnant? When you entered Christianity, you entered into labor. That's what Christianity is. See, you think you entered and now you're going to chill out. And Christ did come to give us life. And life in Christ is much better. This week I just met with a guy and we kind of started talking. And he said, I want to be in control of my life. And I said, weren't you in control of your life till this moment? And he woke up. He was like, yeah, I was. Maybe I need to give away some of my control because I ain't controlling it good. I work with Native Americans. And you know their time? I'll get there when I get there. Not to offend, but sometimes they come late to work. And they say, well, I'm just on Native American time. And first I was like, I don't know what that means. And then they told me that I'll get there when I get there. That's how it works. And I think that's the attitude we got in Christianity, people of God. We got an attitude, I'll get there when I get there. And if you do that, then you are in control of your life. And if you are the Lord of your life, then Jesus is not the Lord of your life. He said, you don't know the day or the hour, so you got to live like every day is the last day. If you knew that today was the last day, how much differently would you live today? How much more would you do? How much more would you love people? How much kinder would you be? If you knew that today was your last day, how hard would you try to make $1 million? Not very hard. Come on. There is more important things in life. And people who are dying, they usually say, I wish I spent more time with my family. And I wish I've done more things for eternity. I just visited my grandparents and my kids' great-grandparents. And that's what they're talking about. We wish we'd done more. Our time is coming. They're really old. They wish they've done more. That's the kind of attitude they have. If we don't know the day or the hour, there should be some kind of enthusiasm. Urgency is enthusiasm. And Jesus was producing that. It just has to be inside of your heart that today could be the last day. I'm just trying to tell you that we don't have tomorrow. Today is our day to be saved. Today is our day to do something for God. If you knew that today was the last day, what would you do? The life would be different. Because see, you cannot bring your family even before God. You cannot bring your money before God. Only the stuff that you can bring is that which you gave for eternity. Let's say you gave to somebody, some poor person, or you gave to God and nobody even knew about. You did something good for a person. You saved a soul. You talked to somebody about Jesus. Because that's what's written in the heaven, right? Jesus said, you don't know the day or the hour. So it is the last day. Because we don't know if we get the other day. Exodus 12:11. Do you remember this was the Passover meal? This is where there is 9 plagues already stricken Egypt. And now, there's a last plague. The angel of death was going to go through the Egypt and kill every firstborn in the family. And this is where God says, you should take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost of your house. And then this is how you should eat that lamb. And this is for generations to come. And it says this, and thus you shall eat it. With a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I'm going to give you a little secret for business world. This is for business people or future business people. If you want people to move somewhere, you gotta produce urgency. Jesus wanted his church to move somewhere. Jesus didn't want his church to be in one place in Jerusalem forever. He wanted it to spread fast. And what moves people faster than urgency? And notice when they didn't move, he created persecution in Jerusalem and they all scattered. God will make you move if you don't move on your own. It's true. Now, in this scripture, God did a symbol. It was a symbolic gesture. He said, have your sandals on your feet, your belt on, and eat the Lord's Supper with haste. Notice they were to practice every year till Jesus would come. Every year, once a year, they were to practice that and do the same thing, put their sandals on. What do you think that means? They were preparing for something. Lord wanted them to be always what? Ready, prepared. Even in the Old Testament, they were showing us today that they had to symbolize, because for them it was different. They were waiting for Messiah. So it's not like they were waiting for His second coming. Now we're waiting for His second coming. They weren't waiting for that. They were waiting for Him to come. So they had something to look forward to. We don't. They were to symbolize that they're getting ready. How do you move 3 million people? There was only 600 men who were ready for battle. That's what the Bible says there. How do you move people who are tired, who don't really believe if God is real or not? Do you remember when Moses came first into Egypt to deliver Israelites? They probably were all ready. Okay, Moses is going to go. Pharaoh is going to let us go. And we're going to leave. So they were pretty excited. But as every plague, the heart of Pharaoh was getting harder and harder. Guess what happened to their urgency level? Their urgency went down. And some of it said, listen, Moses, don't even deliver us. It's getting harder since you came. What was happening to their complacency level? It was going up. What's complacency anyway? Complacency is self-satisfaction, especially accompanied by unawareness of actual danger or deficiency. As it was getting harder, their complacency was going higher and higher. They didn't want to leave Egypt anymore. And by the 10th plague, they were just sitting there. How can you move 3 million people? God said, when you eat the Lord's Supper, put your sandals on, your belt on, and eat it hastily or urgently. Eat it knowing that you're going somewhere. How do you move 3 million people to the last one and move them out of their place and move them to who knows where? Urgency. If you don't know where you're going, if you're not ready to go, and urgency is not panic, urgency is not stress, it's not troubleness of the heart, it's undertake something with energy, swiftness, and enthusiasm. Does your life have urgency? If you're going to college and you're kind of like, okay, you know, whenever I'll finish, I'll get there when I get there type thing, you're not going anywhere. If you have the word of God spoken to you prophetically, and you're kind of saying, well, God said it's going to be, so it's going to be. But you're not urgent. You're just neutral. And God is not looking for Christians who are neutral and idle. God is looking for Christians who know where they're going, who knows that today could be their last day. And notice it's not panic. It's not worry. It's not caring too much. You know, Bible says, put all your care on me. It's not that. It's just, you know, I have to go somewhere because my life is not given to me forever. And I don't know when my day is coming. And so I'm speaking today to the people who've been too comfortable in American dream, just living it out without a dream, in a dream, and not going anywhere, kind of waiting for something supernatural to happen to them. Supernaturally for God to touch them. And then they're going to fast. And then they're going to pray. Forget it. You're not going to pray. You're not going to fast. A person has to make a decision. It has to be a choice. I fear your word. Not with kind of an attitude where I don't care. I hope this message will make you want to do more for Christ. Want to do more even for yourself. Finding out what your gift is. A lot of you young people, you think you got forever, but when you get married, the grace of being young kind of leaves you. When I was younger, and even when I first got married in the beginning, I thought I could still do anything I want to, but then you can't anymore. You have a family grace on you. Like a duck with a little ducklings, you know what I mean? You can't lose them or anything. Young people usually say, I wish I was older so I can do more. Then older people say, oh, I wish I wasn't married. Then I could have done more for God. I wish I would have done something for God. And we all kind of live in somewhere, but not today. And God is calling us to live today. Every day should be with your sandals on, with your belt on, ready to proclaim the gospel of good news. The truth. Have the truth. So two important things you should have. Every morning you get up, you should have two important things on. Of course you should have all of them. Helmet of salvation, but we already got it. Righteousness, we should live it. But every morning it should be ready, or evangelism. When you put your shoes on, it should remind you, evangelism. And then every time you button your pants, you put a belt or whatever on, it should remind you of what? Truth. I should walk in the truth. And the truth says, I don't have tomorrow. This is the only day I have. I will live it to the fullest. Complacency is self-satisfaction. Especially when it's accomplished by unawareness of actual danger or deficiencies. That the true ministers of the gospel will begin to preach this message. Because the people have become so much into themselves. It's a selfish, complacent, self-satisfaction. Wouldn't you say that in America, we kind of have self-satisfaction and we are unaware of the dangers? How can we practically apply this message? What Jesus said. God said to Moses. What Paul was talking about. How can we apply it? Well, for one thing, we would choose to really love one another every day. It's just so hard to love when people just kind of piss you off, you know. It's hard to love. Hard to love your parents sometimes. Hard to love your enemies sometimes. Hard to love people who kind of tells us the truth sometimes. I know you're telling me the truth, but I just don't like it. My flesh doesn't like it. So practically, one thing we can do is we can love our neighbor as ourselves. And if, number two, if we see somebody who is not living for God today, and they're kind of thinking, well, I got, you know, on my birthday, on my 25, that's when I'll give my life to Jesus. You should be worried about that person. Because God hears those words. You can't tell God when you're going to die. You can't tell God when you're going to serve Him. He's the one who gives you the gift of salvation. It's by grace you are saved. If He gives you grace, you're saved. And today the word is spoken. If you wanted to tell people about Christ in your school, in your workplace, with your friends, with your family, or if you even wanted to pray about somebody who is not saved, and you said, well, I'll do it, you know, later. Don't wait. Never say, I'll do it later. I can do it today. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe you want to start over today and live your life with urgency. And you want to remove complacency out of your life.